Happy Friday, guys. DGS 205. Sue Thomas is here. Sue and Two, good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Fine, thank you.
I'm having a weird afternoon. It's Friday, so yes. Everyone's weird on Fridays, right?
Yes.
And the whole debate last night, and I didn't sleep very well, so I'm kind of out of sorts. And so I had my Monster Energy drink, and the only thing I really had to eat was a KFC chicken breast, and then we had a cake yesterday because a couple of our coworkers are retiring, and it's down. It was a big cake, like a wedding cake, and it's down to one tiny piece, but the entire bottom of the cake is covered in the
icing? No.
The goo.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Twinkie remnants. Yeah. Yes. And I just took my hand and...
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, it was good.
Oh,
that's the best part of every cake.
A chicken breast and energy drink and the schmutz from a cake.
I don't feel well.
No,
I don't feel good I don't feel good about me.
No.
Yeah, that's the best part of a cake from home, but like a communal cake. I'm not touching that.
You kidding me?
It's all the same.
No.
I'll be here when the cockroaches are dead.
You know what? You will.
You built up some toughness.
Yeah, I don't need any antibiotics.
No.
I am an antibiotic. Give him a little Dave. Give him a little shot of Dave. He'll perk right up. So, obviously, you're a politically engaged person. You do the show down at 97.1 with Mark. Your thoughts about last night?
Well, you know, I got back from vacation, so I did not see the entire thing. So, I've just lived through a little bit of video today, and I was surprised that all sides were saying this isn't good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that RFK Jr. was left out. He's been left out of everything, and I think both parties are not sure what to do with him. But he's also appears to be a deeply smart and also patriot sort of person. And he just gets left out of everything. So when people say, these are the two choices we have, I think, well, no, although they've really done quite a bit to keep him out of it. There is another option, but I think we're so focused on it's either Democrat or Republican that nobody even thinks of another candidate. But that might help after last night. Somebody may be looking for him.
Can you talk a little bit about your vacation? Because it looked like the coolest vacation of all time.
Oh, Dave, it was good. Michael bought a 1962 Alfa Romeo. He's an Alfa Romeo guy.
Mm-hmm.
Juliet Aspire.
I wish I could date an Alfa Romeo guy. I wish I could be an Alfa Romeo guy.
But he bought it out in from a guy who's a former racer out in California. And they found it, you know, when people, I guess, pass away or it was an estate. And it had sat
like
for 20 years, kind of one of those deals. But it was in good shape. And this guy fixed it up, what needed to be done. And so we thought, we'll just fly out there and drive it back.
Sweet.
And it was so fun, but it was hot. I mean, I had total fantasies. I said, I am going to go Grace Kelly. I'm going to do a scarf and big sunglasses. And I watched videos on how to tie the scarf. I got it. But the speed limit in Wyoming is 80.
Yeah.
So that thing blew right off. Eventually, I bought a trucker's hat and tied the scarf around my neck so it wouldn't sunburn. But it was so great. We have such a beautiful country.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's cool to see from a convertible. And it was really fun.
Yeah, we're going. We rebooked our trip, Phoebe and I, to Colorado. And we're in Keystone. And we're going to go down to the Great Sand Dunes National Park. And it's a 3.5-hour drive. But then we're both like, but it's a drive through Colorado.
Right.
Like, you would do that just for vacation.
Yes, you would. And that park is so worth it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, good.
Rach, the DMV?
Yeah, I had to go to the DMV this morning.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know, it wasn't that bad. I was only there for about an hour and a half, which sounds insane
to say
out loud. But I got there a half hour early, and there were like 30 people waiting to get in. Yeah. And I'm thinking, no, this is bad. So I waited for about an hour inside once they, you know, opened the doors and let everyone in. The only thing is, I just think we need to have a rule that you should have to sit there silently at the DMV. I don't think you should be allowed to talk. Because
who are people talking to?
There was this one lady who was loudly, loudly, loudly complaining about the line and how ridiculous it was and all this stuff before the DMV opened. Then whenever it opened, she got seen like pretty quickly. I guess she was just shuffled around to where the procedure she needed was next up. And she was being so like super nice to the DMV people.
Funny.
I'm like, so I'm over there like, oh, okay, so you're fake because you're outside complaining about them and now you're being super, super nice to them. But she was just so loud and so just like
least favorite kind of people.
Well, making her problem everywhere. Yep. It's like, we're all here for the same thing.
We all think the same thing.
This sucks. Why are you the most important person? And her voice was just insanely loud. She was having a conversation with other people and I couldn't hear anything they were saying and I could hear every word she was saying crystal clear.
I hate loud people.
At the DMV, it was awful. And I kept saying under my breath, like, you're the worst.
You're not good. But you're not the bad kind of loud.
Good.
Like, if we went to dinner, you wouldn't be...
No, the restaurant wouldn't all hear me.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Exactly. Right.
Those are the people that bug me.
Unless I laughed, they would all hear that.
Yeah. No, it's not so much a volume of voice thing, although you're probably...
It's a little...
Oh, no, I have that too. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's more like the people who everyone needs to know my business.
I hate the people in, I could just stop there. in those settings, whether it's like the DMV or in the airport or whatever, that are just on their phones or speaker phones, or they have headphones in on the phone, but they're just loud as hell, not realizing the world hears
them. I like the guys who are at the urinal in the bathroom making a deal, and you're like, you're not the only person who's ever made a deal. Just
wait a minute. They're making a deal?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of deals?
Look, I'm not going to tell you again. You take it at 18 or I'm not going to buy, okay? You understand that? And everyone's like, tinkle, 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 tinkle.
Right.
And it's like
hearing the flushing in the background.
Yeah.
Wow, that does not happen in the ladies' room.
No.
Right, Rachel.
No. Once in a while, though, I've come into the bathroom and someone's on the phone while they're in the stall,
okay,
and I'm just like, can we take a pause and you just finish this phone conversation later?
Like here or out in the world?
I feel like it's happened here, but out in the world, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, does the person on the other line know where you are right now?
Right. Well, also, can they hear what's going on?
Are you disrespecting the person on the other line if you're doing that?
Doing the deal in the toilet?
Like, if you're in the bathroom and you're like, I'm just going to do this.
So what do you guys do that's annoying?
In the bathroom?
Ladies.
In the bathroom?
Or just in general?
I don't think of anything.
We're so
easy. But the most that happens in the women's restroom is, I am out of toilet paper. Knock, knock, knock. Do you have any over there?
Yeah.
And we pass it underneath the stall. I mean, that's...
Okay, I have something.
But that's teamwork, though. That's not annoying.
That's what I mean. It's not...
We don't do that, do we?
I don't think I've ever been in that position.
I don't think I have either.
You've never passed toilet paper under the stall?
No.
That's a rite of passage for a woman.
I would never talk to another person.
I mean, if I needed to, I would definitely like, bro, can you
No, I could
help,
be in a stall
a
and my spleen could be on the floor.
Yeah.
I live there now.
It's like I'm not talking.
And the guy next to me could be like, I'm a spleen doctor. Can I help you? I'd be like, no.
I'm okay.
First of all, I'm checking the toilet paper before I even sit down.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair point.
That's second
smart.
Of all, yeah, if I run out, I live there. Like, that's... This is nobody else's problem but mine.
But you will do a deal at a urinal.
Not doing a deal.
We're not doing deals.
But there are a certain type of dude.
I'm not doing deals out of the urinal. I'm certainly not doing them in the urinal.
That's fair.
There's an annoying thing that also happens in the women's restroom where sometimes people will hover over the toilet because they don't want to sit down, but then they make a mess.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And then it's like, then the next person has to hover because there's a mess everywhere. And
that's
it's
an
like,
analogy for life right there.
I know.
It's
like if everyone would stop hovering, we wouldn't have this problem of potty all over
the seat.
What
are you so afraid of?
I'm not. I don't hover. I mean, I can't believe I just said that on the radio.
She said so bravely.
She did.
I sit.
Yeah.
I used to hover, and now I sit. And I think the problem was...
Life just beat you down. Huh?
I think that, yes. I just didn't want to leave her hanging out there.
At one point, Sue looked like Grace Kelly hovering over the toilet. Now she's in a trucker hat, just full booty on the porcelain.
But sometimes, even if you do sit, you're forced to hover because the person in front of you made a whole thing. And it's like, okay, well,
exactly.
I'm not sitting on that.
I mean, you know, we got some pretty big targets in the men's room, and there are dudes that miss, and they miss by a lot.
Terribly.
How is that
miss
possible?
By a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how you miss that much.
Yeah, there's somebody that missed the little like one-holer bathroom back here. Every once in a while, it's like, how did you not make it into the toilet? What is wrong
with you?
It's not that
far
away.
What's
going on?
I've noticed that there's sometimes a trail from the door.
Oh, that's That's upsetting.
And I can't tell. Here's the disturbing part, though. Is it a trail from the door or to the door?
Oh, no, it's got to be to the door, right?
I don't know. The trail's not good.
No, trails are bad in bathrooms.
I remember my first legal job was at Mr. Donut when I was 16, my 16th birthday. And one of the first things I had to do was clean the bathroom. And my boss back then was probably 20, but he seemed like an old sage.
Sure,
and
sure.
He was like, "You're about to get an education, boy. You ever been in a girl's bathroom?" I'm like, "No, sir." And he's like, "Well, brace yourself and get yourself ready. They're the dirtiest animal alive." Let me tell you something. A ladies' bathroom at a donut shop is a place to see.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Way worse.
I thought we were the worst.
No. Not in donut shops, anyway.
Okay.
Oh.
Speaking of, I want to do some fast food news.
Yes, absolutely. Now that we're all ready to
Now we're in the mood for it.
Yep. Well, we're talking about one end. Now it's the other end.
All right. McDonald's has placed last in the annual Consumer Satisfaction Index. The index ranks the 23 major fast food chains in the United States, and they use the following benchmarks to evaluate customer experience: accuracy of food order, quality of mobile app, reliability of mobile app, beverage quality, courtesy and helpfulness of staff, food quality, restaurant layout and cleanliness, like the bathroom, speed of checkout or delivery, website satisfaction, variety of beverages, and variety of food on the menu. I just found those. They're just going through a rough time right now, McDonald's.
They are. Andrew, is this true? Are they the worst?
Not at all.
Thank you. I just didn't think that sounded right.
Not remotely. I'm very surprised.
I need a ruling. I pulled in. I went by and I got my mom some McDonald's in the drive-thru. Typically, I just have it delivered, but I decided, you know, on my way to see her. And the manager was checking me out. And the manager, you can tell because they're in the khaki pants and the blue shirt. And they had their shirt half tucked in and half tucked out. And I tried, it's not like I complained or called the clown and said, like, you need to fire this guy in Webster Groves or something. But it just, I felt like an elitist because I'm like, well, sir, you owe it to me to have your shirt tucked in if you were in management. And then I felt like a dink.
Would you have cared if his shirt was completely untucked, or was it just the fact that it was like a sloppy half in, half out situation?
Solid question.
I would have preferred a full tuck in. But if you're going to untuck halfway, just go all the way.
How was it untucked? I'm curious. Was it like, oh, it came untucked? Or
it looked like he'd had a hard day.
Okay.
So well, I felt kind of bad feeling
like
that.
Yeah, I could
like
have
that.
Some sympathy for that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on with fast food news.
It's probably why they're last.
Probably. It's probably because of that guy.
Probably that guy.
Taco Bell is debuting a new $7 Lux Craving Box, arriving on the heels of the recently introduced $5 Taco Discovery Box. The new $7 Lux Craving Box comes with a variety of full-size menu items, including a Chalupa Supreme, a beefy five-layer burrito, a double-stacked taco, chips and nacho cheese sauce, and a medium fountain drink, all for just $7.
Too complicated.
No,
yeah, there's way too
complicated.
Too much. Not
actually,
at all.
No? I actually agree with
what?
You. I think it's a good, it's a solid deal.
It's 55% off menu price if you buy all
deal.
These things separately.
It's a great deal, but like, what if I don't want a beefy
right?
Then you gotta pay something else.
What if I, you know what I mean? Like,
see
I
what
wish,
you do.
I wish they would have a couple different, see, I'm a big fan of the, Wendy's has the biggie bags, if you will, which you choose a sandwich and then you get nuggets and fries and soda, and that's nice. Then it's up to me what I want. So Taco Bell does this a lot. They have these, you know, kind of box deals, and the deals are always very good. But it's like, you know, let me pick what I want.
Having Andrew here during this time is like,
I know,
having
like,
Carl Jung as a co-worker and you're talking philosophy.
I know. 100%. I always feel so unworthy. Like, why am I the one doing fast food news? I should just hand him all the stories.
You say something, then we all turn and we look at
Andrew. Like, is that true, sir?
Professor Stolz.
You would eat that thing, wouldn't you, Kevin? You don't care what's in it? The Taco Bell, whatever?
Not only would I have.
I'm with Wheels here. I'm happy about the fact that it's only $7. I had never had the beefy five-layer burrito until I had one of these boxes, and I'm like, this thing's awesome.
Yeah.
Kevin is also one of the people, I think, and I don't fall into this. I don't think Rachel does either, but Kevin, I think, falls into the group that thinks that everything in Taco Bell is essentially the same.
It is.
I kind of get that.
No, some things are slightly.
I'm in that group.
Some things are slightly better than others, but not like if I go into that order right there, the best thing is you go on the little kiosk and you're like, all right, I don't necessarily love all of these things, but I can customize them enough by taking some stuff off or maybe adding a little thing here and there where I still get the $7 box and I get something closer to what I actually want.
That's fair.
Jack in the Box is introducing a new Deadpool and Wolverine-inspired chimichangas, a.k.a. mini chimmy bang bangs. That was hard to say. They will hit menus nationwide on July 15th, but Jack Pack members, I guess that's people who use the app, can get early.
Everything
you're saying
sounds
so insane. Terrible. I'm just going to move on.
You sound like Biden last night. Yeah.
What if he had to say the
chimmy, chimmy, bang, bang.
Chimmy, chimmy, bang, bang, buddy?
I think he did at some point when he was talking about immigration.
If he did, we all might have been like, oh, you know, he is kind of with it.
I think he mumbled chimmy, chimmy, bang, bang, Jack Pack.
Right, yeah, this is Jimmy, Jimmy, bang, bang, Jack Pack.
Oh, the saddest part was whenever Trump would say something and then Biden would be like, that's the biggest bunch of malarkey I've ever heard in my life. And it's like, I know they told you to say that, but don't say it. Because you don't sound cool when you're saying it. No. You just sound a million.
I will say, when
sound
he
like
said,
one of the Cats and Jammer kids.
When he said malarkey, I was like, nope. He said the line.
Somebody also was like, drink.
Yeah, right.
That definitely was part of the drinking game last night.
One more and then we'll take a break here. Church's Chicken is adding some new tender wraps to their menu. It comes in original, spicy, and jalapeno cheese bomber. I think these look awesome. They're kind of like the snack wraps from McDonald's, but they're from Church's Chicken. I wish McDonald's would bring back the snack wrap. That would be incredible.
I never think about Church's Chicken.
I don't either.
Are there any around?
Yeah, there are, because you can get it on like DoorDash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's one over on Del Mar, I think.
Bring me the chicken places 1 to 3.
Boy. So Popeyes is number one, but it's hard to find a good one.
Totally agree. I agree.
Yeah, it's hard to find a good Popeyes. If you can find a good Popeyes,
they don't take it seriously usually?
No, not at all. Like the one in Alton is absolutely dreadful. Yeah. But Popeyes is number one if you find a good one.
There's a really good one.
Everything sounds terrible in Alton, the way you describe it.
Yeah, no, they have a great Taco Bell near there though.
There's a great Taco Bell. Yeah, that's East Alton. East Alton has a great Taco Bell. We're lacking on some of the fat. We don't have the strongest fast food location.
Surprising.
Yeah, you'd think that I would have whipped them into shape by now.
Yeah.
And then KFC, I guess KFC. I went through a bit of a Lee's phase at one point, but Lee's is fine. But KFC, I would probably.
You're a Hodak's guy, right?
Oh, I love Hodak's.
So this just happened. Sue Thomas is going to teach Rachel how to drive a stick shift.
Nice.
Yeah. It's no gonna be problem. Fun.
Now we just need somebody to give us their stick shift to learn on.
So if you have a stick shift out there and you like a couple of pretty ladies, learn on your car. Andrew, something tells me you don't have that skill.
Oh, no, not at all. No, not even close.
Andrew can't ride a bike, Dave.
Yeah.
Oops, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't even do the stick on the bike.
Yeah. I'm not interested in learning the stick either.
Nothing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like learning cursive writing at this point. I mean, why do you need it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
They don't make them at... Do they make
not
them
much.
At all?
They do, but not much.
I think there's a switch on my car where I can go to manual if I want to.
There is. But it's not the same, and there's
no
clutch.
It's
right. More just...
That's exactly right.
And you can request them, and they'll make one for you, but it's not common anymore.
Yeah. Do you have the paddles on your steering wheel?
Yeah.
The shifters?
Yep. That's where... Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, good for you.
Yeah,
good for
I'm
Betty.
Excited. I'm going to learn a new skill.
The only way I want to do that is if it makes it faster.
Oh, jeez.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
235 DGS. So I hit a new low recently. So I'm pretty open book. So you've been with me for years and years. I'm very open about my mental struggles and depression and anxiety and being medicated and things like that. But I hit a new low. I was watching a commercial for the copper bullet hose.
I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Oh, tell me about it. And what I decided was I'm not good enough for the copper bullet hose.
Oh, God. Dave.
Yeah. It was like, you know, I've got the money. It's like $79.99. I'm like, well, I got the money, but I people are going to see me with that and go like, what the hell are you doing with this copper bullet hose?
Wow.
I know. So I didn't buy it.
I'm very sorry, Dave. It's a sad day.
Thank you.
What is the copper bullet hose?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
For just $19.99.
It's made from the same stuff that they make when they're fighting forest fires.
Yeah.
And it shrinks down to almost nothing, which I related to, when you stop using it. And but no, I just didn't feel like I was copper bullet hose material.
Okay.
Now, I haven't gone with another one, so there's still time
for me. Dave, I believe in you.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you.
There's one that's not copper, but I just bought a hose yesterday on Amazon for $49 that is a 100-foot hose that shrinks down to 17 feet. You know, one of those ones that expands.
You're dunking on me now. Now you're just dunking.
But no, I'm just saying if you're not feeling up to it, take the middle ground and get the Amazon. That's what I felt I was worth.
100 feet.
Mm-hmm. 100 feet down to 17.
Oh, boy, I could water the neighbor's yard with 100 feet.
Man, I know. It's a lot of hose.
People would like me then, wouldn't they?
You're on the highway with this hose, just spraying it.
100 feet! Stairway to Kevin.
All right, so have you guys followed the Scarlett Johansson OpenAI thing?
Not since the initial splash.
Right. So for people that don't know, she was apparently asked if she would do the voice for the OpenAI voice.
Right.
And she declined. And then they came out with a voice that sounded mysteriously like Scarlett Johansson's voice. And they say it's not her. Like that they're saying, no, we paid a different voice actor. They won't tell us who the other voice actor was. At least I've not seen it. But Scarlett Johansson has been pressing this issue, right? Mm-hmm. So my bigger question is, in general, and Sarah Silverman asked a question similar to this about, well, I wrote a book, and if this book is being fed into OpenAI or any AI, well, then you're taking my ideas and you're using them. Should we all, especially those of us whose voices are out there in the public, you could download all of the podcasts, you could easily get our voices and imitate them. And it's out there. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to pay. It's just there. And you can feed it into the AI, and we'd never know it.
That's true.
Should we be either A, considering jumping on any of the lawsuits, or B, really pushing elected people, especially, you know, the United States Congress, to get a hold on this sooner rather than later? Because as of now, all of our intellectual properties and talents could be fed into that and used for that, for AI to, quote, learn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing we can do about it. We get nothing for it, even though it's our work and our voice.
So AI is basically becoming the sum of us.
Yes.
And then one day we'll do everything for us is the plan.
And the greater point is that the companies that are building these artificial intelligences are doing so to make money. So they're going to make money off of all of the work that all of us, and by all of us, I don't just mean radio people.
Creatives, right.
I'm not even talking just about that. But anybody who has put anything into the world, that is being fed in, and these companies are going to make money off of all of the ideas and voices and books and things that have been put out there.
I read an article about this, and I know the answer. I know their answer. The AI people, quote unquote, their answer is, this is how we're going to get universal basic income. Everyone's going to get paid back for whatever it is that they put into the compendium of human knowledge, because everyone's going to get universal basic income once AI takes over.
Put it in writing.
Mm.
Because you are benefiting from that now.
Yeah.
These companies are not just running as charities.
Yeah, it's done.
And also, I mean, universal basic income is great if all you've done is uploaded like 10 Instagram photos and that's what you get.
Right.
If you are a creative and that's been your life's work and you've done all this stuff, it's like, oh yeah, and then you're gonna make, you know, $3,000 a month. It's like, well, that doesn't seem like a very even trade for the amount some people are gonna be putting into it.
Right. And how much will the executives involved in the companies be making versus what we will all get? And by the way, we get no say at all in what we get in return for the stuff that we've put out there into the world.
You can envision
being used
a world not that far away where, let's say that everyone got $10,000 a month. That's a good sum. That's a good amount of money. For a lot of people, that would be a raise, but not for everybody.
Right.
There are a lot of people who would say, well, I make 30 a month. I make 100 a month. Well, now you make 10. because there just may not be that many outlets to go make more money.
Oh, I just don't like the idea of universal income at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it as a supplemental idea. Like, if it's just like, well, and it, by the way, but why shouldn't that be coming from the companies that are making money off of building AI and employing it and using it?
Supposedly it does.
Right. Well, I mean, then if it's an additional payment on top of what you're already going to earn, that's a different thing than being like, well, you can't get paid to talk on the radio anymore because, well, now people are just going to use artificial intelligence voices to do it because we've built all these models off of all of these voices that we've had accumulated over the course of time.
So you've had this on the Google Doc all week. Can you talk about Dyson spheres?
Have you? So you guys all, you know, Dave.
I do.
Rachel, you know, because we've talked about the Dyson spheres. Do you know
what
a Dyson
sphere is? I have no idea.
So it's a theoretical thing that if we were going to find civilization significantly more advanced than us out there in the universe, one thing that we could look for is a Dyson sphere, which is a mechanism that can harness the power of the sun in that galaxy.
Or in something made of matter, probably some
a machine
sort of metal
made of some kind that
encompasses a star.
Right. Oh. Or in somehow orbits it and then harnesses its power. So it's not necessarily like a shell over it, but it could be a series of things that orbit it at a much closer range than you would normally think, but that it harnesses the power of the sun for that civilization to use. And they think that we could detect that based on, you know, when you're looking out into space, you could see if there are like things that are getting in the way of the sun or changing the energy that's being output.
Is that what we're attempting to do and just haven't done it? And we think other civilizations could have figured it out?
It's what we want to do.
We would love to, because then it would be unlimited energy, right? Or at least unlimited until your sun burns out.
Right.
Which in our case is supposed to be, what, 4 billion years down the road or whatever? Yeah, we're not going to have to worry about that. But they think that they might have seen some things that are showing the characteristics of what a Dyson sphere would look like out there in the universe. They don't know yet, obviously, or it would be much bigger breaking news, if it's something that's been designed or it's just a natural feature that is giving off this same idea. Mm-hmm. But I found that to be pretty fascinating. They can see out there in the universe.
Would we hear about it?
Depends on who found it. Right?
Like if Avi Loeb finds it,
we're going to hear about it.
But if the government finds it, we're not.
Right. If it's
for decades.
Well, and in its defense, they've got to figure out whether it's natural or not, right?
Well,
they've got more research to do before
we... And if they're good guys
or bad guys. And that's what they are now. What they found now are basically phenomena that exhibit some of the characteristics you would expect if there were a, quote, Dyson sphere that's out there. So at this point, it's just one of the, it's kind of like, well, we think there could be life on this planet because there's a gas that's being given off.
Let me ask
that
this.
Only exists where there's life, because we've had that story a couple times too.
When we think of aliens, we think of beings that are farther along than us, right?
Yeah.
So we don't very often contemplate what if we found a rudimentary civilization of beings that were behind us.
Right.
What do you do?
Well, the reason why we look for things like this is the idea is we would never be able to detect that civilization.
Right. In other words, they could be a threat to us and we don't know that they're out there?
Well, no, the problem is that the theory is that the only way we're going to know about a civilization is if they're putting things out into the universe that we can see. And that's one of the theories that people have about other more advanced species coming here, is the first signs that we were putting out into the world would have been radio signals, and then eventually television signals, and then nuclear explosions. Like those technological advances would be the first time that anything human left the planet, it went out there and could be detected. And that's all that we would be able to detect right now if we are looking out with telescopes and probes and things along those lines. It would have to be an extraordinary bit of luck, right, Dave, to find a form of life that is what you're talking about that has not
crossed it.
Right, that has not advanced to the point where it could put stuff out there into
like
the universe.
Like a Stone Age sort of,
Right. It would have to be. Now, we are looking for planets, though, right, like Goldilocks planets that
might have evolved the way that we did.
Right, and we just haven't been able to visit those because they're so far away, and we're not. There's no technology that we know of that exists now that will get us to there anytime in our lifetimes.
When we come back, let's talk a little Cardinals.
Sure.
Last night was pretty much the equivalent of the debate. Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS. I was just talking about Mike Novak a couple of breaks ago, doing my live endorsement for Alternative Mortgage. He's joining us now. So, some good news.
Good news.
We need some good news.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Rates are falling, and I mean they're moving up and down each day, but overall we've fallen probably a point and a quarter.
Okay.
So you're starting to see rates in the sixes. Which is consistently in the sixes. Every once in a while, you'll pop up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But VA loans are in low sixes. You're going to see, depending on your credit, VA is a little more forgiving for that.
Mm-hmm.
But conventional loans, you're going to see them in the sixes and the low sevens, just depending on what you're doing.
So people who locked in the eights in the past couple of years, it's time to start looking.
The high sevens, low eights, you should start to talk about, should I be refinancing? What is my magic number to get to?
Yeah.
That's really what we want to find out.
Because you can just keep refinancing.
You can. And that happened several years ago when the rates got really low. That's what, you know, we said they aren't going to go below five, and they ended up in the threes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if the opportunity is to save money, save money. Because you don't know if they're going to go back up, and then you've lost out.
How does the housing market seem to you from your side of it?
It's aggressive right now. I mean, if you're going in to try and bid on a house, it's not just, you're not going to negotiate to get the lowest bid. You're going in to get the highest bid. And it just depends on the area, though. Some areas you can go in and you'll get right at what they're asking.
Mm-hmm.
But other times you're going 50, 60,000, depending on what you're buying.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing with agents. I mean, they're got to be ready.
How does it work? Like, walk me through a hypothetical scenario. I call you, mm-hmm. and I've got a 750 credit score, so it's good, but not, you know, top of the heap.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I'm at a 7.5 right now. I'm looking. What do you do? How does it work?
We will do what they call mortgage analysis. So we're going to look at where you're at right now. How long are you in the loan? How much do you have left? What is your break-even point? If you had a refinance today, what would the cost be to refinance? And how fast are you going to recoup those costs? Can you do it under a year? Then it might be something to do.
And knowing you, like I do, if it's not great for them, you're going to tell them, talk in 6 months.
Yeah, we'll stay on top of it. Now we know where we need to be, and we can keep an eye on it for them.
What sort of debt are you seeing? If I call you and I say, look, I'm not buying a house, but I've got 38 grand and I'm paying 25%.
Unfortunately, you're seeing more of that. Credit card debts are going up. Some people are doing consolidation loans. And so we put them on a plan because consolidation loans, rates are going to be slightly higher than where you're at on a regular rate and term refinance. So you have to have a plan in place to help them out. So
did the jumbos change?
Jumbos are higher. So like a normal loan, now you can go all the way up to 766, 500. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. I mean, when I started, it was like 250.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So even jumbo rates are lower. In some cases, we've seen jumbo rates lower than the 30-year fixed.
What do people really need to be careful with? Because I know that you sell against the guys where it's like, give me a call, I'll tell you the rate.
Yeah, you know, if that's what you're going to do, rate shop, you can call 100 places and you're going to get 100 different answers. The biggest thing is I'm not a big fan of the fees, right? If somebody's looking at their loan estimate right now and they see there's a section called Section A, if there's anything in that, then you're paying money for that rate, and you shouldn't. There's no point, especially in this rate environment where we believe rates are going to continue mm-hmm. to fall. If you refinance, why would you pay extra fees?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
And this is one of those areas where people probably don't even know what questions to ask.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times they're like, oh, I got a better rate. I'm like, really? So where is, what Section A look like? And they're like, well, it's $3,500. I'm like, so you saved $35 a month, but you spent $3,500.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
That math doesn't work very well.
And is that unethical, or that's just not a way you do business?
No, it's not unethical. They're not. I wouldn't say somebody's being unethical. That's what they're offering. Some places that they have a fee every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to look at it and say, what is your best effort? What are we trying to do? And where are we going? Because it doesn't always mean that that's the best deal, right?
Yeah. Do you guys ever get any sort of inside information about the rate falling and so forth?
Lenders right now are the servicers are really kind of beating their chest. They believe rates are going to continue to fall. What they'll say is, we don't know when, but be ready.
Yeah.
It's going to be, and when it happens, it's going to be kind of crazy.
And is that the Fed, or can they do it even outside of that?
There's so many variables that go into it. I mean, the Fed, whenever they say things have settled down and we're starting to see, you know, what's going on in the markets right now, when you see that settle down and things are inflation kind of goes down a little bit, then you're gonna see rates kind of start to go down as well.
So for the home buying, talk about coming in with a pre-approval.
Ugh, don't like that word. Approval. So we do approvals, not pre-approvals, where I'll validate everything today with an underwriter. They sign off on it, and now you're ready to go. Pre-approvals indicate that, well, we kind of looked at it, looks pretty good, or pre-qual. Everybody hates that word too. Agents will cringe when they see that, you know, pre-qualified. It doesn't mean that everything's been signed off on. And because of that, it allows us to go a little bit faster. So average time is like 9 days to get things done.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, from start to finish, that's not underwriting. Underwriting's 1 day. Everything done.
And every kind of loan, VA, conventional, jumbo,
FHA,
debt consolidation.
Yep, all of it.
You guys got it.
Yep.
Okay. If you want to talk to Mike, give him a call. Good guy. I've known him for going on 24 years now. 314-835-1195. Mortgage-AMS.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.